We are continuing with our study entitled Written with the Finger of God, sermon number 115, dealing with the Ten Commandments. We've been looking at the law of God within covenantal context, as the Puritans have designed the structure of understanding how the law of God applies to us. How that we, not just as Christians, but all mankind is accountable to employ God's law. And we're dealing with the ninth commandment. And I want us to remember that the ninth commandment deals with, in particular, thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, our scripture text is Deuteronomy 9, 10 through 11. Then the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And all then on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. May we ask God's blessing on our time of consideration today of His law. Our Holy Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, O God, that You have given us Your truth, that we can know that we walk in the light and we learn how to apply that truth in our lives. We ask, O God, that Your Spirit would encourage us, strengthen us. We ask, O God, that we would seek to only glorify You, as we have just heard, in all that we seek to do. That is one of the most important things that you will find in Puritan and Reformed thinking. Your honor, Your glory in our actions and conforming our life to You. Now, O Father, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive that which Your word and spirit would teach us. In Christ's name, amen. Now, the ninth commandment, according to the Westminster Divines, as they quote the scripture, the ninth commandment is this: thou shalt not bear false witness with thy neighbor. The general principle or scope of this law is the sanctity of truth and honesty before God and in human society, one to another. Now, we know, as we have read already, that there is a duty you and I have to be careful how we talk about or with one another or our neighbor or even ourselves. That you need to be careful about slandering people, making statements that are not true, unfounded, and are assumed that you understand when you do not. You can speak the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, but you must be quiet on what you do not know, for that is forbidden. Now, this past week, I put out a few things. I think it's an opportunity here for me to do a little work on explaining things to you, but I put out on some things that I posted. People were saying, why is the Supreme Court? I thought we were supposed to be so conservative. Why are they ruling in a way which have not been according to my thinking, have not been according to what the Word of God says? I thought the judges were conservative and would overturn everything we do not like. Well, people, we recite the law of God. Let's get this clear. We believe there is one supreme law, the law of God. We believe that every law in our country ought to reflect that law in everything we do, in everything we say. That's the principle of this ninth commandment. And I said to them, did you really think that just being conservative would change the trajectory of the court? Well, these judges are conservative by today's standard. That does not mean they will arbitrarily deconstruct an established law. You must understand the nature of and how our law works. Now, let me tell you something. Just because we believe the law of God is the high standard, we have no magic wand to wave over the Supreme Court to get them to think the way we want them to think. I wish we did. Now, God can do that, but he usually does it by saving people and changing their hearts and minds. But I want to give you a little history behind our court. Why are they continuing to allow abortion? Why are they finding certain civil rights in relationship to transgenders, to homosexuals? What is this that's going on? Well, originally in our Constitution, and understand, if you don't have a background in law, you probably don't have any idea what's happened in this. If you don't have an idea of constitutionalism. I mean, some people say, we want the original Constitution. Have no idea what they're talking about. I know what they want, but it's not what they think it is. But if we had it, there would be a change in our society. The federal courts and the Supreme Courts dealing with, let's deal with the concept of abortion, could not address the issue of abortion because it was held to be what? A state issue. The state addressed. You know, when the federal government dealt with Roe v. Wade, they said, well, there is no law yet determined by the federal courts on what we should do. They said, there's no written law. And we said, wait a minute. There are states that have all kinds of laws protecting children that are still in their mother's womb. They ignored it. You see, there wasn't really anything written federally because federally they were going to deal with it. That substantive law belonged to the state under the original Constitution. That's why we had a war over states' rights. We'll get to that. Now understand something. God's law is supreme. You want God's law here? Got news for you. Through secondary causes that we believe in, it means you and I have got to change the law. You just can't dream it and hope it. You got to get active and do something about it. And what I find abhorrent is people who don't understand these things, nor have ever gotten out and done the things that even I have done, which I'm not saying I've done all that many things, but for years we fought abortion against the ice fact of those who were going after the licensed homeschoolers, or put them in jail, or license our colleges. We battled, we spent over $100,000 out of Whitfield Seminary to defend the right of our schools to give degrees in this day. People don't understand. And yet they have the gall to call me a liberal. That's slander. You know what that really is? It's them running out of arguments. And the only thing they got left is to slander you and violate the ninth commandment. They have no knowledge of the history of this. They don't understand the law of the land and how we got here. Well, I'm telling you, this is how we got here. After the Civil War, The South was not allowed to hold office without signing a paper that said, "You have betrayed this country as a traitor." The South wouldn't sign it. They never seen themselves as traitors to our country. They believed that the North had done that because of their collective nationalism, which was just a nice word for socialism. And they fought them over that. States' rights, federal rights. Well, they passed the 14th Amendment. That forbid the secession of states from the Union any further. It also nullified state nullification laws. States used to be able to say to the federal government, "We're not going to do that." Pass a law, and they were out. You can't do that anymore. And then they defined citizens, follow this, as being under the federal jurisdiction of the Constitution and of the federal government, and thus citizenship by state was just because all state constitutions had to piggyback now the federal constitution after that war. And so we are citizens of this state, but first citizens of what? The federal government. 14th Amendment says, well, you can't put any burdens upon our people that would interfere with their rights as we define them. Now, through the 14th Amendment. You know what that means? When we talk about state rights and personal rights, it's more what we would say personal privilege legally. The only rights you have in the 9th and 10th Amendment are what the federal government interprets and says, yes, that's your right, but these belong to us. Thus, citizenship was changed from residing in a state in your father's house. In other words, wherever your father lived, his domicile. If he lived here in Florida, you were a citizen of Florida, and because you were a state in the Union, you therefore were, like, basically common law practice, a citizen of the federal government. But the state law of Florida governed you as you were actually governed by being in your father's home and where he hath assigned his citizenship and allegiance to that state. Thus, home, state, and then federal citizenship was originally what was understood. There was so much Scottish influence in our original law because our colonies were separate. They came in as individual states. And in doing so, by having states' rights first and saying they can only have a national collectivism on the basis of the rights of the states and the citizens thereof, each state could do its own thing. Thus, before you had Roe v. Wade, there were about, I think, 5 states that allowed for abortion. The rest of them didn't. That's why Roe sued. She was from Texas. They had a law forbidding it. If you had it, you'd be put to death. She said, "Why should I be put to death when you can go to New York, get an abortion, and they don't get put to death?" Doesn't the 14th Amendment promise me the equal application of law? And would I not have that right of being treated in the same way they do in New York? Because I'm a citizen of the federal government first, not of my state. And my state has to conform to what? The federal constitution as it has now been redesigned. 14th Amendment, I hope you know, is the most quoted law in the history of our court system in the United States. That's how important that amendment was. That was the anti-secession law. That was the anti-law that said, you cannot interfere with the rights of our citizen. If you pass a law that interferes with any rights or privileges we offer as the federal government, the law is null and void, and we'll change it for you. Now, the change in defining this citizenship came in, I think it was 1878, or maybe 1887. I may have that backwards. And it was first argued, the first time the 14th Amendment was argued, was on a Chinese immigration issue. There was a young man by the name of Wong Kim Ark. He came here with his parents, who came to get money in order for them in California to work, labor, take money back to China, and to buy a business. Young Wong Kim Ark didn't come over with him. He was born here. And so when his parents left, as he got older, he made numerous trips back to China to see them. And about the fifth time he came back, maybe it was the fourth, the immigration said, well, you can't come in here. You have no rights to come here. And he said, well, yeah, yes, I do. And he got an attorney. And they sued and said, look at the 14th Amendment. How do you become a citizen of the United States? Two ways. You either naturalize, which I have not, or you're born here. And I was born here. And he won his case. That law was cited in Roe v. Wade. The question was, how do we have the authority to deal with this issue? You want to talk about pure fiction? Here it comes. Well, we've got the 14th Amendment, but we've never dealt with this before. I know when we transferred the sovereignty of the King of England to the sovereignty of the United States federal government, it gave us as the Supreme Court the authority to decide this for our people. What a great fiction of history. But, you know, when you're trying to find a way in order to say, we can show and demonstrate this is a historical pattern, you got to create the narrative. That's what's happening today. People are trying to change our history, and they give you this whole new narrative, which isn't even true. Well, the Supreme Court did it first. Now comes the issue of abortion. And Jane Roe is invoking her Ninth Amendment rights of privacy through the 14th Amendment, in which she is saying, you have no right to punish me in Texas when they don't punish me. And that's because, well, we've changed the Constitution. It used to be the authority of the states, then the conglomeration into what? The federal government. But with the 14th Amendment, we shifted it. Now it's the authority of the federal centralized government versus the state's rights, which now are under its authority and umbrella. You follow it? Understand how we got here? Jane Roe says the federal government has a responsibility to protect my Ninth Amendment rights of privacy. Nobody had ever dealt with that question under the Ninth Amendment. But I cannot have an unequal application of the law if I want an abortion. And people, when they considered this, they looked at the Wong Kim Ark case as being a model to understand how they should deal with this. They never said that the unborn baby was a person. They said, we don't know if it's a person. They said, we don't know if it's actually living in any sense we say it's living. We don't know a lot of things because, you know, fetology, the study of a fetus, was only 2 years old when Roe v. Wade was passed. 2 years old! And they were already arguing, get rid of the three times that you have the, you know, first month to the third, and trimesters that you had these trimesters, get rid of it. It isn't really real. Because they used to use the trimesters on the basis of the only way to determine the baby was living, and that's because of the medical advancement at the time wasn't far enough, was the quickening of the child, the movement. It's alive. The Supreme Court said, we got a real hard problem here. She wants an abortion. Whose duty is it to decide that? And they finally said, from everything we can see from history and from the case that was decided before us on Wonka Mark, we can make a decision whether she can have an abortion without being penalized. Now, this is the trick. It wasn't mandatory abortion. It was voluntary. You could have it if you want it. The state just can't punish you or stop you. And so they said, your right of privacy is protected under the equal application of the law. Every state has to be the same. And so, what was the status of the unborn child? Well, you're not going to go to the first constitution before it was changed by the war, because it said that we were here to preserve life. And it would have been protected then, because they couldn't have touched that. The 14th Amendment changed it. Now everything is interpreted through the 14th Amendment. And how do you become a citizen? Excuse me. You're either naturalized or born. And what doesn't the fetus qualify for? To be naturalized, and they're not born. And the answer was, there is no standing for the fetus as a citizen to claim rights of the Constitution. Thus, Jane Roe has rights because she is a citizen because she was born here. And therefore, her rights override the non-existent right of the unborn child. That's how they decided it. Now, understand, boy, you talk about a bad law. Well, it's based off of a lot of fiction. It's based off former laws that were after the Civil War, determined through the 14th Amendment. If you're going to go after abortion, you're not going to do it by asking the Supreme Court to change it. Why? If they got to abortion by the 14th Amendment, if you get them to overturned the law through the 14th Amendment, you still have the federal government making all the decisions. That's what you want? Because as soon as they stack the court in the other direction, where are you going to go back to? The original determination. They're going to say, wow, we already had a determination of this. This was a bad decision, and it must be overturned and put back to allow abortion. You see, when you don't fix the law right to be in working structure with God's law, you're going to have the same problem over again. People, for some reason, don't understand this. If you're going to change the law, that's how you change results. The 14th Amendment changed the results in the United States. Prior to it, they couldn't do many of the things they're doing today. Do you know that divorcing your parents is based on the 14th Amendment? Yeah, cases have already been taken there. It's an extension. When the South lost the right of state rights, the final determiner of all things became the federal Supreme Court. It was never meant to be that way. But that's where it went. It wasn't a decision we made voluntarily and voted on. It was made at the point of gun and bayonet. Nobody votes for weird, ungodly laws except for sick, sinful people who just don't understand it. They hate God, they hate His law, they hate His word, and they will do anything to escape from it. Well, we've got some quote-unquote civilized people that have now decided in order for us to control every aspect of your life, federal government is going to be the authority. We're passing this amendment and it gets expanded on. Did they see this coming? I don't think so. But it came. Now, let me let you in on something. I'm trying to get to explain to you why the things are going the way they're going. And I couldn't get anybody I've said to people, you're saying I'm a liberal. You're saying I don't understand. You won't discuss this with me. You don't know what you're talking about. And you're libeled me and slandered me and violated the Ninth Commandment. You need to repent. There's a law that's been practiced. It's called stare decisis. It's in our law system, the legal system. It's a legal doctrine adopted in our country court systems that basically obligates the courts or our judges to follow historical case law based on previous precedents set that have been established in legal interpretation by the courts. In other words, you look at the court's rulings and you have to stay within the understanding of how they're interpreting the law and how that law comes out and gets settled. Now, if you got a law that will allow abortion, do you think it will stop there with that interpretation? Man, you just don't know anything about the American system if you think it will. Stare decisis is a Latin phrase. And you know what it basically translates? It means to stand by that which has already been decided. Now, I believe these judges are conservative. I believe even their personal beliefs are, don't like abortion. But they work in that court system and its laws and all of its historical practices. And they feel bound to follow it until the law was changed. If not, they can overturn a law, and in 10 years, we get three more liberals on the court, and they have the majority. They're going to turn it back. Why? Because we haven't fixed the problem. You got to be smarter than that, people. Now, you can possibly do that in a couple of different ways. You can add an amendment to the 14th Amendment declaring it was never intended to deal with the question of abortion, transgenderism, gayness, whatever the gay and liberals are. And then it should send us back to the states' right position. They'll never rule if you go back to the original Constitution on abortion because it's not in their purview. So if you go back, every state is going to decide for itself whether it wants abortion. And I think we would probably have about 45 states that would say no to abortion. You can repeal the 14th Amendment. But if it's the most cited law in the history of America, do you understand how much that would bring to destabilize all the things that have been ruled upon? You'll never get. That would require 38 states to overturn it. You'll never get it. As a matter of fact, let me tell you a little secret. You want to hear the little dirty secret of the North? Originally, 38 states are the majority states. I don't know if it was 38 back then, but the majority of states, when the 14th came up, had all voted on it, and they got enough states that it was going to pass. But some of them began to realize what they had done, and they began to say, no, we want to take that back. We don't want that. It's a bad idea. And you know what the answer was? You can't do that. Do you know that secession was originally a northern thing, not a southern thing? That came later. There were states in the North that threatened to secede from the Union. So it was a northern concept. And as you have this liberalism getting worse in the North, because all of those independent reformed people went, congregational churches, went liberal to Unitarianism, you had a real bad, weird theological thing loose throughout the North. Well, they said, wow, we don't want to do this. We revoke, because it has not been passed yet, we revoke our vote to endorse it. And they came back and said, you can't do it. And they said, show us in the law. There wasn't a law. They said, no, you just cannot do it. It's done. This is called the law that never was. It was a bad law, people. A bad law. Well, you might be able to reverse it. But I'll tell y'all, I don't think you could get enough states to pass it and to say, needs to go. But even then, we would be back with what? What was going on before Roe v. Wade? States would still have to do it. That would mean Supreme Court could not. And I don't want the Supreme Court, really and truthfully, to rule on this. I want them to rule the 14th Amendment doesn't deal with this. It's not their business, and go back to the states. That's what I want. Because in Florida, we'll vote it out. Georgia will vote it out. Atlanta will vote, Alabama will vote it out. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of states that are going to go, we don't want it. If you want an abortion, go up north. You're not going to do it here. Now, like I said, remember this is a voluntary thing? That means you don't have any standing to go to the court and say, man, I don't like abortion. I want to file suit. You can't. They're not making you have an abortion. They allowed you to have abortion without penalty. How do you deal with the law where they're not forcing you to do something? How do you have a standing to go before them and make an argument that this law is wrong? You can't. What you have to do is get your state to pass laws that will allow you and the state together, i.e. you as the citizens and the state, go after abortion, and they'll have to take it up because a state has ruled against the federal court. That's the ending. They'll have to take up the issue because the state has taken a position that they said they didn't have any right to take. Are they right or wrong? And how do you do that? Get your state to pass laws that abortion is murder, and we will not tolerate it here. That's how you do it. We believe in the law of God, but there's no magic wand to wave over America to say, you want the magic wand? Preach the gospel. Win people to Christ. Win the majority of people who have really been won to Christ and really live the Christian life, apply the law of God to their life. They will demand the change. It happened in the Reformation. 38 countries went through Reformation, and they demanded governmental changes in their countries. Thus, you can change the law in America to conform to the supreme law of our Creator, which is just, true, and it never, ever changes. Now, I said all that to tell you, I've made a few people mad. Mostly because they're ignorant, they don't know what to do with it. And they don't want to be able to have to look it up and search it out and understand. You see, you understand something. I believe the law of God is supreme. It doesn't change. This is murder. It's wrong by God's law. But we have a system intact that we are operating under that has to be changed by us. The simplest way is to amend the 14th Amendment to say, we never intended for the Supreme Court to get involved in the issue of abortion. You have no right to deal here whatsoever. By the way, that was not originally my original idea. It was repealed the 14th, which I knew was asking for way, way more than the government would ever do or any state would ever do. And it was Newt Gingrich that came up with this idea. At least that's the only one I know I've ever heard say it. And when he said it, I said, oh my goodness, he has found the shortcut to nullify the Supreme Court in this. Now we could send it back to the states. Because the state could file the suit. We're not going to do this. And by the way, there was an amendment that said you have no right to deal with this. And abortion would no longer be allowed across the United States. It would have to be decided in each state. Well, I want no state to have an abortion. I got news for you. That's not the way the system works. And the reason why they keep coming up with these weird decisions is all the court cases from the 14th Amendment on that have come forward have widened the door to all of these weird interpretations. But each time interpretation is made, you add it to the cases and they begin to expand and spread. Well, how do we determine this? And how do we determine that? And then the next case comes and you don't think those people suing to get their rights to do transgenderism and all this stuff before the court don't know this? They do. And they sue on the very principles of previous court cases. I don't want them to deal with anything on abortion. Send it back to my state. And if you don't like it, vote with your feet. If you don't want abortion and your state says, yeah, vote by moving. If you have a state that says you're not going to have an abortion and you don't like it, hey, liberal, go north. Kill their children up there. That or you have a civil war, which I do not recommend. So you see, it's important that we understand where we're at, the times we're in. We've been preaching it. Jack Dugay used to be with me. We worked all this out. We spent a long time dealing with this case, researching everything that they cited and said. And we kept saying, at one time we said, you know what? I think we could have put a squash on it, and this is how. George Grant said I was really tricky. I appreciated that. Do you know how many people would underwrite abortion clinics? How many insurance companies would underwrite abortion clinics and their doctors? Five. You know who I wanted to attack? Those five. And anybody that supported them and withdraw all of our support and put them, if we had to, into default and out of business. And I'll guarantee you, you can't imagine how many suits are actually filed against doctors today for botched abortions and the clinics. A lot of them have closed down because of them. But we could have upped it. And if you couldn't get insurance, I'm going to guarantee you one thing. No clinic would operate and no surgeon would do the work. I pitched that to Randall Terry, Operation Rescue, at his home. He didn't have the background to understand why. So we have limited things that we can do without changing that law by going back to war. Something that those of us who are not that healthy probably will never survive. But we may be forced into it anyway. Do you understand? We're trying to tell the truth. We're trying to get people motivated. It's not just enough to carry a sign. It's not just enough to march down the street. Anybody can do that. It's the right of our people. You gotta change the law. That means you have to do something more than just run your mouth. What are you doing to change it? Now, whoever came up with the understanding the states needed to rule out abortion in order to get it back before the court, brilliant. I'm glad you did it because that's what needed to be done. I've encouraged it as much as I can. I'm old enough and sick enough, I can't get out anymore and do the things I used to do. But most of the time, the people don't have enough education to understand what's going on. And so if they don't understand it, they just go, I don't know. I can't get people to say to me, well, why would you say it's not surprising these men would rule and extend this thing out? I'll stare at the sides and says, that's the practice of the court. It's been around for a couple hundred years, people. Early 1800s, it was adopted as a practice in our country. The answer isn't say, oh, you're a liberal. Oh, you're lying. That's a violation of the Ninth Commandment. No, I'm telling you the truth. And you don't know how to deal with the truth. Or as it was once said on a movie, you can't handle the truth. That's the problem. You can't handle the truth. Truth means you got to get busy and you got to do a lot of work and it's not going to be easy. And nobody really wants to do the work anymore. That's the problem. That's the problem. Well, I simply use that as an example of why on this ninth commandment, we need to be honest. Somebody says something and I don't understand it. My answer isn't say, well, you're an idiot. You're stupid. You're dumb. Oh, I don't know what you mean by what you just said. Explain it to me. I got to understand why you're thinking the way you're thinking. Well, sometimes I don't have to do that. Sometimes they make enough statement that are so absurd, it is stupid and dumb. But the answer is, you got to be honest with me and deal with me. When you speak to me, the Ninth Commandment says, my reputation is at stake and it needs to be defended. Your duty is to defend my reputation until it's proved otherwise. Now, I realize this is a long example. But I hope you're getting an understanding. It is not an easy thing to fix everything that needs to be fixed. But my goodness, we've got so much that needs to be fixed in this country. And we have gone away from the law of God. There's no question about it. But I don't have a magic wand that says, God's law supreme, whoop, 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 and everything's fixed. It just doesn't work that way. I wish it did. I wish I could hope it into existence. I know one God that can do that. But do you know that he's a God who works through secondary causes? That's us. And we got a job to do to stop abortion. But you can only do it in certain ways. Well, you could argue we can go kill abortionists, but how do you go kill them? How do you violate the law in order to stop the violation of the law? Because we don't have the right of the power of the sword. Only the state does. and those officially allowed in the state, bring it all the way down to the sheriff and the police. They have the power of the sword. The state has the power of the sword. God never gave you and I the power of the sword unless we are officially a part of the state. And only in that way. We have to be voted in as a legitimate officer within the state. Our people don't know our history. They don't understand how we got our independence. They've never read Lex Rex. The law is king, not the king is law. The law is king. They never read the book on dealing with tyrants that was written, that said this is how you deal with a tyrant. Actually, much of it was centered around Calvin's own thinking on how you deal with tyrants. And it is accused that Beza was the one who actually wrote it with the pen name. I think it is called Contra Indicia something. It's dealing with tyrants. How to actually biblically deal with tyrants. They have no idea that what went on in this time period of our history. And they work hard to change the law. And it required eventually them to go to war to change the law and to kick the king and his army out. But if you're going to change things in this country, pray? Oh, yes. Preach? Absolutely. We want converts to our cause and to Christ and all that he will give to us. We want them to think right. You got to educate. You got to teach. But you got to get busy and do it right. And it will do you no good to say to someone, you don't know what you're talking about, you're a liar, you're a liberal. My friends, that means you ran out of argument and you don't know how to deal with what I'm saying. You don't even understand what I'm saying and you won't even ask what I'm saying. Why do you say that? I haven't got any of those questions. I've had 3 or 4 people write back and just say, you must be a liberal. No, I'm the most conservative liberal if you believe that. If you want to, you could come up here and fill my 9mm on the side of my pants and let you know. If you were a liberal, came into this church and tried something, you'd probably be dead by a conservative liberal. We are armed. Our sheriff told us to be armed. I'm not a conservative by modern day standards. I'm a Puritan. They are moderates at best, as far as I'm concerned. I had, when I dealt with the issue down here in Bartow, when they were wanting to build a chemical burning plant, and we opposed it, they asked me. The liberals came in to oppose it too, and they said, we can't believe you conservatives are opposing it. I said, well, I don't want a chemical burning plant in my backyard, blowing chemicals out of the smokestack all over the place, especially when it's going to be radiation stuff and everything else. They were really shocked that I had prayed before the city council. You're not allowed to do that up north. I said, that's why I don't live up there. And one lady says, you know, I think I understand you. I've got a friend I work with. She'd just come back from Russia to look at Chernobyl. She says, I think I understand you. You're a conservative like Ronald Reagan. I said, ma'am, Ronald Reagan is so far to the left of me, you can't even see where I'm standing from. I'm a Puritan. I'm a reformer. And you haven't ever met a monster till you've met me. That lady, though, liked me. Matter of fact, they had called us on a couple of things and asked our opinion of how they would deal with it. But God won that victory. We were fighting them tooth and nail. And I told Dr. Duguay, I said, brother, I don't know how we're going to beat this thing. We're trying everything we can do. but it looks like they've already bought property. They've got over $30 million spent on this project. They were from Canada. One morning, I got a call early. You know how late I stay up and study. Real early, I got a call. It was Dr. Gay said, "Get dressed. I got to go show you something." I said, "This early? Come on, man. Can I wait till noon?" He said, "No, you got to see this." So he came and picked me up, and off we went down to Lake Wales. I mean down to just south of here, Mulberry. We go out to the property, and he says, "What do you see?" I said, "A lot of property and a few trees." "Why?" He says, "Look at the tree." And I looked up, and guess what I saw? An eagle's nest. The eagles had built right smack dab in the middle of the property in a tree. And we looked at each other and we said, "That's God's hand. He has answered our prayers and the work we've been trying to do. He has honored it." Because the law of the federal government is, under the Protection Act, you cannot hurt an eagle. And wherever he built a nest, you can't tear it down. And you're not allowed to build around it. You have to stay so many yards from it. And that meant they couldn't build. The Canadians blew up. We brought in somebody from the Game and Warden thing. And we made this point. "Hey, we got a real problem here." So we told them. We had gotten them down there. They looked at it and they went, "You're right. That's what the law says." The Canadian says, "Well, we'll move the tree for him and we'll be very careful." He looked at him and he said, "You don't understand American law. You ain't moving anything. You're out of luck." And that was the end of it. And we never got the plan. But people, we were trying to put our feet to our faith and do the work that needs to be done. But you got to know how to change it. And you've got to change it in order to get the result you want. And you can put all the liberal judges on, or conservative judges on the court you want. And even if they're pro-life, until you change the law, even if they said, "We're going to throw it out," that makes everybody happy. The next time it changes, and you got more liberals than conservatives, what are they going to do? They're going to throw out the other interpretation, and you're right back where we started on this issue. And they're going to say abortion is legal under the 14th. Gotta change the law to conform to the law of God. And if you're not willing to do that, shame on you. Shame on you. But let's be careful about what we say. The ninth commandment deals with truth and honesty between man and man, in the way that we treat man, of things we say about man, of the things we accuse him of. It better be true. And if you're just too ignorant to wrap your mind around it, tough. And just shut your mouth. Real simple. The ninth commandment don't allow you to speculate. May God help us to learn how to live by his law. We cannot violate his law to fix the law that's violated. Doesn't work that way. Let's get busy. Let's pray for God to send the right people to deliver us according to his will. We can change the law so that it will never go back to freedom of abortions in America again. Shall we pray?